So let's get going. I want to start off with prayer because we have no idea what we're talking about. Just kidding. Dear Lord, we just again want to thank you for this time. We thank you for all these people in this room that want to make their children that they have or will have to understand, respect for you, respect for them, dear Lord, and just help us to be able to share that to them. Just help us to get out of the way and let your words work. In Jesus' name, amen. Would someone or a couple people give me a definition of respect?
That's why we're here.
Yeah. Nobody knows.
A definition.
Silence.
Okay. Okay, we got hands raised.
Okay, just treating someone the way that they deserve to be
treated. Treating someone like they should be treated?
Deserve.
Something? Deserve to be treated? Give her candy.
Where is it?
I don't know. Did they steal it?
It was right there.
Someone stole it. Did you steal all my candy over there?
Of course you did. You left chocolate laying around. What do you think I should be doing with
it? The sheriff stealing candy.
Two bags. Does he really have it? Oh. Okay, that was disrespectful.
Kelly doesn't get... Kelly showed a good example. Do you want some too? No, go ahead. You can have some. You already took? Okay, good. Stealing candy. Any other definitions?
Loving your neighbor as you loved.
And what's that called? Is there a theme for that?
Golden rule.
There's some verse that says something like that too. We won't go into that verse. It's not good. It's worse. So it's basically respecting someone, out of choice. Now, I'm going to throw another thing out there. Is respect earned or given? How many people say it's earned? Raise your hand. How many people say it should be given? Given is right, okay? In a Christian attitude or a Christian praise, we should just give respect. Can it be not, or, you know, I believe that there's some places where it's earned in your job. Other outside of other things, yeah, it's earned. I mean, I can't expect the people under me at work to just respect me. But that's what I teach my children, is you respect everybody. So since we live in the world, there's a two-way street here. But as for our children, we want to teach them respect. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about a couple of verses. You want to do the verses? You're a lot better than me.
Okay.
These are our kids. You've never seen our kids. Oh, you have a question? Well, it's a little easier for us because we have older kids, but that's something we were going to talk about is the example that we show for our kids. We're able to engage, especially the older ones, and understand that, okay, God has appointed that person. I might not agree with, God, what are you thinking? But he's done that. So out of what God's, okay, I'm following God. So there's a point of respect that I need to show that person over me. My boss, I mean, how many people would like to badmouth their bosses all day? I mean, that could be the same thing. It doesn't have to be a political figure. It could be someone even closer. And that comes to example, because if their kids hear that all the time from you, they're not going to want to respect. The first person they don't respect is you. So it becomes this nice full circle. So there's a thing you have to watch. I mean, how do you show that I don't agree with this person, but I still respect them? And I think you can show that in your when you're talking with them. You just got to remember who you're talking to, because most of the time when they're little, you don't even think about that. You just start talking at this level, and they're like, oh. And then when they don't respect you, they're not going to say, well, because you said about this person. They just saw it, so they do it. So
Okay, so some of the verses, Leviticus 19:3. Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. Reverence can also be interchanged with respect. Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise up before the gray-headed. That means you should stand when, you know, and showing them respect, not that you should get up earlier than they do in the morning, but that you should stand in respect of the gray-headed people. And,
that means old.
Uh-huh. And honor the aged, and you shall revere your God. I am the Lord. So honor and respect, interchangeable. Malachi 1:6, and I think this is really interesting because Malachi was the last chapter that was recorded, and then there was the 400 years of silence. And this says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am father, where is the honor due me? If I am master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. So it's God speaking and telling them that you're not respecting me. And he, at that, I would, that scares me. To not respect God, that scares me. I don't want 400 years of silence. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever.
Okay, right there, it said fear of the Lord. There's also respect. So one of the things that's always brought up to us is their healthy fear. I mean, you always hear, you don't want your children to fear you. And I always say, is there a healthy fear? And they can't answer me that because they're like, well, no, you don't want your kids to fear you. But is there a healthy fear? Well, so they get in that conversation. Well, God just said the fear of the Lord. And he's not talking about he's going to be up there and going to smack you silly. Even though that he could do that, but there's that fear, that honor that you give the Lord because he is almighty, all powerful. My kids will obey her, even though that they're almost 2 feet taller than her now because of the fear of dad. That's because they fear me because they know that I will protect my wife, even against my own children. So there's that honor thing. Give example of Kelly. He drives down the street. I'm going to look down. I don't care if he's a sheriff. I'm still looking at my speed control. Sheriff, speed. I know that most sheriffs don't pull anybody over for speeding, but I'll still look to make sure I'm at the speed limit. Is that because I respect him as a person? No, I respect the badge that he carries and the authority that comes with that. So I have never met the police officer before, but at the same time, if he's walking through the store, I will say hi to them. 20 other people might pass us by. We see a person in uniform, we'll say hi to him.
We appreciate that.
You're welcome. Because maybe someday he'll pull me over, he'll remember it. No, I'm just kidding. So that's another thing. So you're going to hear fear a lot in these next couple of verses, so I wanted to bring that out.
Which one did I just do? Okay, Proverbs 9:9-11. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Again, that's what we just said in the last verse. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. This one has to do with husbands and wives. Ephesians 5:33. Nevertheless, each individual among you is also to love his own wife as himself, and the wife must see to it that she respects her husband. Do you want to do the Exodus one? Our Bible is missing too.
No, I moved it.
Oh, okay. It's going to accuse Kelly of moving that too.
It was 15, right? Mm-hmm. You want to read? You're a better reader than I am. That's how you like that.
15 to what? 21. Okay, so this is Exodus 1:15-21. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shifra, and the other was named something else. And he said, when you are helping the Hebrew women to give birth and you see them upon the birth stool, if it is a son, then you shall put him to death. But if it is a daughter, then then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt had commanded them, but let the boys live. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and let the boys live? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwives can get them there. Mm-hmm. So God was good to the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very mighty. Because the midwives feared God, he established households for them.
So just the fear of God caused two things. It blessed the people, and it blessed them. I mean, so basically what it's saying is they didn't have to really care about their house and stuff because people took them in and said, we're going to take care of you. I mean, just out of fearing the Lord. So, I mean, there's something that we need to know. I mean, honor, fear, respect. We need to teach our children that. Now, he's got some other great verses.
There's one. Can I just do one more? Okay. 1 Peter 2:17-18. Honor or respect, interchangeable. Honor all people. Love thy brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. So it's not, don't respect just people who deserve it, but you need to respect even the people who are unreasonable.
So that's where it comes, that earned thing. That's where that verse where we think, well, no, God's calling us to respect people even though that we don't like what they're doing or whatever. There's a part of respect.
And the king thing. You know,
just president, right. King.
So our answer to our children, especially the older ones, because they're the ones that ask in a political situation, what if that person gets elected? Then we need to pay respect to that person. We need to honor what he says. And as far as it is not against what we believe in the Bible, then we need to obey what they do, what they say, and have respect for them and talk respectfully about them. So until then, you can badmouth them. But for now, no, I'm just kidding. You do have to be really careful about the words that you choose. You don't ever want your children to hear you say, I hate that. You know, they're stupid. They're whatever. What happens, especially when they're little and they don't talk yet, when they start saying words like stupid, you go, oh my gosh, that sounds horrible. So you stop saying it. And there's lots of other words like that that you didn't really realize don't sound good. When you start hearing them from your 2-year-old or your 3-year-old, then you go, oh, we're not going to be saying that anymore. And you start changing the way you talk.
Stupid.
Yeah.
When did Deuteronomy want to?
Okay. Deuteronomy 4:10. Remember the days you stood before the Lord your God at Horeb. When the Lord said to me, assemble the people to me so that I may let them hear my words so that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth and that they may teach that to their children.
So it's part of our jobs to teach that. And so how do you do that? You're like, okay, great. You got us all those verses. Now what do we do with all those verses? When do you start? How do you start? Another question I want to ask all you guys is, why do you think people are not respectful, especially children and teenagers?
Television.
Okay, being lazy.
Nobody demands respect anymore.
Yeah, we don't ask for respect.
Selfish. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We
want
to be in charge of
ourselves.
Okay.
It models it for them. Parents don't respect each other. Parents don't respect their children. Teach them how to be respectful of others.
Okay. Any other ones?
I think that our generation, a lot of us, especially women, like, are working outside the home, so we're not even with our kids. So we send them off somewhere else, and they're just getting whoever
happens to be
there, and they don't love their children like we love our children, to even want to teach them something like that. The norm is not respect.
Right. Very good. The norm is not respect. That's huge. Yeah. So how many people had me when I was at Bullard? I know Sarah was around. Do you remember what they used to call me at Bullard?
Trainer Dan.
That's what I went by. There's a few students when I was at Bullard that I had said, no, you have to call me Mr. Short. You've lost my respect. Play with the mic too much. Yeah, we lost my respect, and I don't know if you ever saw that. Most of the time it was a football player. They would lose their respect, and I would turn to him. I said, you cannot call me Trainer Dan anymore. You have to call me Mr. Short. And I was pretty good about listening to kids, so I could tell which kid it was, and I would not turn to that kid. A couple of days later, that kid is coming to me and saying, I am sorry. I demanded respect from these people. A lot of people thought that I didn't because I was called Trainer Dan. That's not too respectful. But it was the attitude I was looking for, not the name. But it comes with that. One of the hardest things we were thinking about, especially this church, is friends. What do you let your kids call your friends? Do you let them say Mr. Mister, or they call them by first name? Big giant thing you have to decide. Well, I want them, it's a friend. I want them to have that relationship, but are you showing them respect? It's really hard. I mean, and people are like, what do we do? I mean, they're close friends. They always have said that. We've come up with, there's always uncle and aunt. They don't have to be uncle, aunt in sense of real, but if that's a close friend, it still gives a respect to that person. A lot of people have hard names, last names. Our kids are like, can we call you Mr. T, Mrs. S, or whatever? They're like, yeah, sure. It still shows the respect. Our funny thing is now that we have high schoolers and junior hires and little ones, it's like Jeff's name, Jeff Bachman. Our younger kids had to call him Mr. Bachman. Our older kids get the right of calling him Jeff. Because we understand any youth group. We were youth group leaders. We understand that, but there's a situation where it changes. So even in that, it's really, I would really have you consider what your kids call your friends. Just because they come up to me and say, hey, Dan, Jordan's father, I will take it. I mean, it makes me sound older, but then Dan, because it's like, there's no respect there. But you're saying that's just a name. It's in the attitude because they'll start getting used to it. You know, my kids, when they don't know someone, they'll call them ma'am or sir. But just out of respect. And that's how we started as little kids. We'll ask them to start calling, no, that's Mr. So-and-so. Even though if they hear us say their first name, we have them repeat. And we've had to go, by the way, what is your last name? Because we don't even know sometimes. Oh, you have to call. And they look at us like, I can't even say that. So that's why we come up with Mr. H and Mrs. T and stuff like that to help our kids.
It's really important because, and a lot of times your friends will be uncomfortable. And we've had to say, I know that it seems weird, especially like with Jeff, because he's always been Jeff to everybody. For my children to call him Mr. Bachman, he really didn't want that. But we said, this is how we teach them to respect. And so I hope that's okay with you, because that's what they're going to call you. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but they're going to call you Mr. Bachman. And he's fine with it now. And so even in your close relationships, it's a little bit funny at first, but it's so critical. It is really, really important. I asked Jordan and Trevor. Jordan is 18 and Trevor is 15. And I asked them, do you remember how we taught you respect? And they thought about it for a really long time, and they said, no, I can't even think of a way that you taught us respect. So the point of that is that we started when they were so little that they don't even know. And so it's just been something that's ingrained in them from the very beginning. It's how we treat each other. It's how I treat him. It's how I talk about him to the kids. It's how he treats me with respect. I still submit to him, and I submit to him respectfully, but he doesn't do anything just to spite me, and he asks for my opinion. And just those things that we do every day at our house is how we model respect, because children are going to learn what's modeled rather than what's said. You had a question. Yes.
Okay, this is what we're going to be calling our friends, close friends, and people.
Right. The question was if for a six-year-old who hasn't been taught to say Mr. or Mrs. or that kind of thing, yes, you sit down with them and have a conversation. This is what it should be like. This is what you should be calling them. And so we're going to work on that. And even practice having conversations with her apart from the people that you're talking about and saying, you know, if Mr. Short comes up, because your kids call us Mr. and Mrs. Short, but if you're close friends, you're going to call them whatever you decide, Mr. Pat, or you can use first name, but put Mr. in front of it. It just makes a whole world of difference.
We do the Mr. Mrs. We do go by first name. I'm having an issue lately with, I know personality types, sometimes they can be shy, but I feel like it's past that. It is being disrespectful. I'm having a problem with my children, someone saying hi, especially at church. I don't know why, because it's I don't know if there's more of them or why, but someone says hi to them and they hide behind me. And I say, Taylor, please come out here. So it's so uncomfortable for the other person. And then, you know, they're in a hurry, so they leave. So I don't get that opportunity to actually, how do you do that?
Okay, so the question is, we should just pass one of these mics around. shyness is the issue, really, and they need to be respectful and look somebody in the eye and respond to them. We actually practice that. That's something that we have issues with that, too. And I think that's natural for kids to do that, but it is respectful to look. Somebody says, hi, how are you today? They need to look that adult in the eye and say, I'm good, thank you. Or whatever your response to them is, they need to have a response. And so we've actually really, we've practiced that at home. We've talked about the consequences if they don't do it. We have really great close friends that you can practice on. And so they know that if they're not respectful to this person and say, I'm fine, thank you, or whatever their response is, we're going to take them in the bathroom, issue consequences, and they're going to come back out and work on it. We're not going to leave until that issue is resolved. So they have to know that you're going to demand that of them. Yeah, at what age?
I think there's a level of a child, like we tell them not to talk to strangers and on and on and on, then it's like, you have to say hi, and hey, you're doing so great to this person.
Right.
You know who they are, and they're learning. Like, they're
well, the street.
Like a 6 or 7 year old clearly sees, like,
right. So the question is, like, what age? I have to talk to them in the mic, but what age is this good at? And when you start talking about the stranger talk, when you start talking to your kids about that, let them know that when they're standing right next to you, that's okay. I mean, I think a lot of parents just skip over that, and the kids are like, you're like, wait a minute, back then you told me not to talk to strangers. That person's strange. I'm doing what you told me to do. Matter of fact, I'm hiding behind you to protect myself. And now you're telling me to some, you know, they're confused. So when you have that talk, first tell them, when I am talking to someone, you need to be around me. Now, if I see my kids in the hallway and they don't do it as well, I don't worry about that much, especially if they don't know that person. They're like, who are you? Why are you talking to me? Even in the church situation, I will probably not say anything to them. They get older. I'm like, no, you don't do that.
But I mean, a two-year-old.
Right. But I do expect them to come. They don't have to hide behind me. So I can, you know, you don't have to hide. You can come out. And so you give them the okay to do it. Don't be frustrated with them, but hey, just.
Or nice. pick them up so that they're at the level of the adults, because that can be intimidating too, if they're still little enough to pick them up. But have those conversations about this. As long as mommy's talking to them, they're fine. And you need to look them in the eye and say thank you, or say whatever the response is. Say hello even. Give them a high five. Sometimes children can't find words to say to adults, especially little ones. And so letting them high five them, letting them have some interaction on a personal level with that person, whatever they're comfortable with, is appropriate. And you need to make sure that they do that. I see people say, oh, go give them a hug. You haven't seen them in a long time. Never, never do that. That's just personal space. Totally violated. Don't do that.
We make grandma.
Well, and even grandma can, you know,
overwhelm and over hug.
Yeah, it's okay to let them warm up. If they're not comfortable having physical contact with somebody like that, it's not, you don't need to make them do that. But eye contact and words or a high five or some kind of a personal response is appropriate. Yeah, even a wave, whatever they're comfortable with.
And I would work with them, they would be fine. They would be fine. They just have to be taught. And they, to come out, like you say, come out in front and look you in the eyes and, you know, hold their little chin up. And they do fine. But it's surprising how many parents say, they're just shy. They can't do that.
Right.
They excuse it.
It's a respect thing, you know?
Now, all of you know something that a lot of people don't know. Now, if there's the opposite, you're the person that the kid's supposed to say hi to. You know some things now. You could actually get down to their level and just say hi. And just, oh, stop that. Two, don't go, no, that's not necessary. Because you've been taught, okay, you just, it's so uncomfortable. I mean, it's uncomfortable to me, and I talk about it all the time. You got to have the, you know, you do this, and that'll happen to a kid. And I'm like, I want to say, it's okay. I don't, you know. But I sit there and I go, and I get down most of the time, and instantly most of the time when I get down, since I am so big, all the people in the front row said this, it does break that barrier. I mean, Big Dan Short's not going to, you know, carry me away or something. So it does help that. Or even, I don't even have to get all the way down to a level sometimes, and that'll help that. So you, to know that, I mean, so if when someone's kid, it's hard to do, but, you know, let that happen. I think that's the best part of, I mean, we talk about helping each other out. That's one of those things. That's like, oh, that's okay, because you just let the kid go. So you help the parent lose.
One of the comments we get most often, and especially a while ago, we got it all the time, was that our teenage boys or preteen boys would look an adult in the eye and have a conversation with them. And you know what? We made them do that. Even, I mean, so we worked on it when they were little, but then when they were like 8, 9, 10 in that age, they start to not want to look you in the eye anymore. And I said, no. That's not, first of all, I don't think that's socially acceptable. If I'm talking to somebody and they're not looking me in the eye, I feel awkward for them. And I don't want that for them. So looking somebody in the eye, it makes a big difference. And we get lots of people who say, your boys can totally, and now the girls too, as they get older, they totally will look me in the eye and have a conversation with me. So, and that means a lot.
So another thing, we as parents, we need to teach that not just to other people, but to God. How do we respect God and stuff? And so we need to teach that in our households. And I think that's even harder because they're like, okay, God, you know, I mean, it's great to have kids because the acceptance is there of it, but you know, the knowledge is still getting there and you're trying to balance that out. That's why having these relationships is so important, because you're demonstrating that relationship with God. So if this is not happening, how are they going to respect God? And that's why I mean a lot of people say there's a whole bunch of reasons why our community, you know, the nation stuff is not being respectful, and they don't respect God or, you know, other religions or whatever you want to say. It's because this hasn't been shown to people. Even Christians were terrible at this. I mean, you walk into the job, my bosses have to, I don't say to myself, well, they have to earn my respect, but I give it to them, you know. But I work on people under me to, you know, make sure they do want to respect me, you know, because my integrity and stuff like that. So we're in a two-world situation, and we got to show that, and we got to teach it. I mean, in the olden days, you know, like 2 years ago, no, 20 years ago, I mean, everyone dressed up for church. I mean, coming to church like we do would be unheard of. But what happened? I mean, why did everyone change? Why people rebelled? Because it was not a hard attitude. It was, I'm showing off. You didn't come to respect God because of your clothes. That's what it kind of started out to be. I mean, people wanted to dress up to, I mean, it's like going to the White House. Would you guys wear what you wore on Sunday to the White House? Probably everyone would say, no, I wouldn't. You know, so it was like, I wanted to show my king honor and respect, but then it became, oh, look what I can wear. Look how I look. And it was like, so if you look like this, you must be a good Christian. Almost correlated with each other. So, I mean, we don't do that. So how do we have that reverence for God for our children? And tell you the truth, it's not the churches to be teaching that. It's parents is supposed to, that's your job, is to teach that. So you have to bring the word of God. I mean, some of the verses we had is to teach them that way. They see you modeling with each other, that's going to help them do it. If you're showing, you know, about your bosses, about anybody of authority over you, someone under you, if you show them respect, they're going to see that. My kids see that because they come to work once in a while and they hear how people, you know, they talk to all my co-workers and stuff and people under me, and they get to feel that. It's like, wow. I mean, people said that. Your dad's really cool and your dad's really nice. And, you know, and they're not just saying because they think I'm around, but that's part of it. And that's what we want as examples for our kids. Okay, for right now, everyone's going to stand up. Everyone stand up. You got to respect this. You will respect this. No. Turn around. Say hello to someone.
Yeah, but they're all
or,
turning around.
Or turn around again and turn around and turn around.
Hello.
What time are we done on this?
I don't know.
Well, it's 5 till. I know. Again? Okay. Okay, you can sit back down. Okay, you can sit back down.
We secretly had a meeting while you were talking.
See,
so.
That's how you have a meeting. When there's a whole bunch of kids around, you have them do something, you have a meeting.
Yeah. It's like a magic trick. You want to see my 3-year-old's magic trick?
You just have to fill in the space.
She goes, I'm going to make these disappear.
That's our three-year-old magic trick. That's what Abby does for her magic trick.
I and everybody in the family goes, wow, how did you do that? So she really thinks she has a magic trick. It's really great.
You got to watch again.
I'm going to make these disappear.
Right.
That's Abigail.
Yeah.
Is that amazing?
Wow. Ooh, amazing. You're going to have to teach her that. Yeah, she's going to have to. She'll be ready for a show.
There's two reasons why I had you do that. One, because I respected that your time and you're sitting there for a long time, and I wanted you to get some blood flowing again. So I actually did respect you out of the thing. Two, I wanted you just to get up and move, just because it's warm in here, too. But no, I mean, we do it all the time for people. I mean, I was thinking you guys have been sitting there for a long time. You probably want to get up and move. If you're like me, this guy's talking way too long. But I wanted to respect that. And so that's some of the things we want to teach our kids is to be thinking not of themselves, but of other people. I mean, that's basically where respect is you now turn the focus to other people and you're respecting them. Once again, my wife asked Jordan Trevor, why do you respect your dad? And the obvious question was because he can't do something about it. I mean,
they really said because he'll pummel me.
He'll pummel me.
That's
and,
what their answer
and they
was.
Know that. At the same time, we went to Disneyland about a couple weeks ago, and every single ride, our kids fought over who they get to go on the ride with. Her and me. It wasn't just, oh, I want to go with Mom. They also want to go with me. Those two answers told me that they respect me, not just because they fear me, but I am also someone that they look up to, they want to be around with. So with this whole respect thing, yeah, there's going to be a respect because of fear, a healthy fear. I can't emphasize that enough. To me, there's a healthy fear. And maybe some psychologist says, no, there's no such thing as healthy fear. I believe in it. Like I said, there's a fear of God. Not that he's sitting there ready for me to make a mistake and to slap me over the head. But at the same time, I am his child, and he will discipline me. I don't want to displease God. Your children really don't want to displease you. Is that fear then? If they want to please you? Some people would say yes. Some people will not really. But it's there. And so as fathers, we need to help our wives to know that. I mean, you're going to have to probably be the heavy one once in a while. When your kids gets to be older than your wife, they definitely need
bigger,
to have that.
Bigger, not older. Yeah.
Older. Well, you're younger now.
Yeah, that's nice.
But taller than their mom. I mean, because it's really easy for them. Even my daughter to just go like, I'm not listening to you. I'm bigger. You know, I'm taller than you. I'm whatever. But there's that thing.
But they don't ever do that. So one of the questions when I asked, why do you respect dad? They said, because he'll pummel me. And then I said, okay, but I can't do that to you. Why do you respect me? And they said, because dad will pummel me. So there is but the other thing that goes hand in hand with that is the fellowship. So like he said, we want to please God. We don't want to displease him. We want our children to feel the same way about us. The way they're going to do that is if we have fellowship with them and we enjoy them, we have good times together, they want to please you. If you're a person that they don't really like, if you're not likable to your children, they're not going to go out of their way to please you. So that is critical, and those two things go hand in hand. So they have to have a healthy fear, but they also have to know that they have fellowship with you and that you really enjoy them and you like spending time with them. And sometimes that's hard. The ones that it's the hardest for, the child that I'm disliking the most is the child that I'm needing to spend the most time with. So it's hard for the mom. It's hard for the dad, too, but especially for moms because you're home with them all the time. It's really, really important to sit down and play with them. And I know that, like at Moms and More, I've said that tons of times, but it is so important that they see that joy in your face, that they know that you love them, that they feel that. It's not just words. You can say all kinds of words and they're empty if you don't have if you don't really feel it. They can see right into your soul. They know whether or not you're really, truly enjoying them. So
one of the other questions she asked the two boys was, how has discipline helped you?
Respect.
Or respect? Mm-hmm. Discipline. Sorry. Respect helped you. And they sit there for a moment, and they sit there for a moment, and they couldn't think of it. And we're like, oh, great, we did a great job. I mean, they didn't understand it. And after we said, well, I mean, like Trevor's been on a lot of baseball teams and stuff. He's always got the coach's award. I don't think there's once my child has not been on a team that has not got the coach's award. You don't get the coach's award because you're the best. You get the coach's award because you do what the coach says. I mean, that the coach was like, Trevor would play any position I asked him to play. He wouldn't say, well, I don't play that position. I mean, the kids would say that all the time. I don't do that position. He's like, gone. You know, if he didn't understand what he needed to do, he would go, how do I do this? But, I mean, in one season, he played every position on the field.
At the same time?
Almost. One time he played second base, and the coach made him go in the outfield and then come back and play second base. So, I mean, that's what he was. And so every coach was like that, that he's had. So that comes out of it. I mean, our kids, people come in and they say, your kids are great. They're so respectful. Any given time. And that's, they just worked up to it. You have more examples of what Wyatt's helped them or the things they haven't seen, like Academ and...
Yeah, Jordan, our oldest, has been in the Academ Decathlon and he does speeches. That's part of the whole program. He gets great scores on his speeches because he gets eye contact with the judges, because he comes in respectfully, because the other thing he scores high on is interview. And it's the same thing. He's sitting down across the table from three adults who are asking him questions and he's answering them respectfully, and he gets great scores on those things. I told him, that's because you're respectful. Most teenagers will not even look you in the eye. So you go and sit across from the table and have an adult conversation with these adults. And it's very impressive because they don't see it very often. Even in Academ Decathlon, where the kids are very, very smart, all of the kids that are coming through that program are very smart. He scores higher than any of the rest of them. And I really believe it's because he gets eye contact with them. He treats them with respect. He answers their questions. And so when I said that to him, he goes, oh, yeah, that makes sense. Because it's not something that... Like we said before, we've taught them from the time they were really little. So it's not something they go, oh yeah, I learned respect on this day. And then on this day, I got this thing. So it's not, they don't put it together. It's just part of their life. It's part of who they are and how we do things in our family. So
the other thing, after discussing about what you asked them, we realized that they weren't also using it to benefit themselves. I mean, they weren't being, what's the guy, I believe it, Eddie
yeah.
Haskell. Everyone knows what I'm talking about Eddie Haskell. There's some of the younger people who are going, he was the neighborhood boy that would come in and be really respectful for the mom. Hey, Mrs. Cleaver, how you doing? You look real wonderful, blah, blah. And he was the guy who was trying to get everyone in trouble. So he wasn't using respect to, like, get away with stuff. And so when our kids, I don't think, because they never used it that way. Like, hey, I'll be respectful and I can get something done, you know, get what I want. So in one way, it was kind of a compliment because they never thought of it that way. Like, ooh, I can get something out of it from being respectful.
I have another example.
Okay.
This just happened yesterday. My oldest daughter, who's 13, we have sheep at our house, and one of the lambs, we just had lambs, and one of the lambs is sick. And so we were dealing with him and trying to help him get better. And she was just not really cooperating very well. And my father-in-law, he lives with us. He was helping us. And she really said in my mind, they were disrespectful for a typical 13-year-old. They were really nothing, but she just wasn't talking to me right, appropriately. And so I went to her after my father-in-law had left and when she was in another place. And I said, you know what you did was totally inappropriate. And that was not, what you said was not okay. And immediately most 13-year-old girls would go, whatever. I don't care. You don't understand me. But she was like, I'm so sorry. The first thing she said out of her mouth was, I'm so sorry. And we had a conversation about that right then. Later on, after Dan and I had gone to talk about what we were going to talk about today, I went to her and I said, why did you do that? Why didn't you just argue with me like most teenagers would do? And she said, because I felt really bad for what I had said. And I had thought about it before you even told me that I was not respecting you. I had already thought about it and knew that I wasn't doing the right thing. So she'd already gone through it in her mind and knew it wasn't right. And when I approached her about it, she immediately apologized. And okay, none of you have experience with my Madison from the time when she was little. It's a miracle. It is a true miracle. She has come so far, and it's just, for her to be able to do that is just incredible.
Is that because you nipped it in the bud? If you caught them? Because I had an experience this morning where my 6-year-old was terribly disrespectful.
disrespectful at the table. Now, the other question I was going to ask you, too, is what kind of a consequence, like when you say we did the bathroom, did consequences? I mean, she was screaming at the dinner table, and so because of a seat. I talked to you about so we sent her to my dad had said, you know, if you don't quit, I'm going to send you to, you're going to eat in the garage. Okay, so
yes.
Stopped. So I sent her to the garage, and she ate her breakfast in the garage, and silently. And so
good.
In there,
you won.
But I went in there and I talked to her about it quietly, and she gave me the thumbs up. She goes, "This is way better than sitting at the table." Okay, so then I thought. So then, what I was getting at though was, what's an appropriate consequence for that? And I said, next time, you're not even getting dinner, and you're going straight to bed, because she's always hungry. I don't care if it's lunch,
yeah,
or lunch or dinner. But so it was an appropriate consequence. And the other thing is, do you think that your daughter at 13 is doing that because you are nipping it in the bud right then, and then you're going and you're talking about it? I mean, because I'm afraid my daughter's going to do that.
Yeah. I've had conversations with her where I told her I was worse than you when I was your age, and so you can't do anything or say anything to me that's going to shock me, and I'm going to stop you the minute you do it, because the things that I brought into my house when I was a teenager are not coming into my house ever, ever, ever. And so I'm just not going to let that happen, and she knows that. We've had that. She was slamming doors and yelling that she hated me from the time she was like 7. So this has come a long way. She has come a long way, and this is what happened yesterday is typical for her. She's very much say what she thinks right at the, you know, as soon as it comes to her head, there's no filter. I tell her, maybe you should use the filter, you know, and so she's working on that. But
I did.
Yeah. Yeah. And that one cleared. Yeah. So she's very much like that. And so now she'll say things and they'll just come out. And all I have to do is say, I probably wouldn't even have had to say anything to her. I could have just looked at her and she would have gone, "Oh, sorry, Mom." You know, so it's come a long way. We typically, no food is great. That's a good consequence for that. Because if she's hungry all the time, having her by herself, obviously you tried that, it didn't work. She obeyed you still and went in there, which is good. But you need to find what her currency is, like we've talked about before, and make sure that that's what you're using, and taking that her currency away from her. And you know what? We use spankings in the bathroom. And the reason that we do that is because it's quick, it's painful, it's over, we've reconciled, it never gets mentioned again. It's not the timeout that lasts for 15 minutes when you can't really remember what they did anyways and why they're there. And they are just in their mind sitting in a place in the garage alone having a pretty good time, apparently. Some kids, that would be torturous, but apparently for her, it's not. And so that's why really for most of the things that happen in our house, it's a spanking. That's the consequence. So
there might be work involved. Doesn't have to be like in that situation. If she got in with the sheep, she probably got the chore of feeding the sheep the whole week by herself. So, okay, you didn't want to be respectful in this situation. Here's the situation for a week now.
And you know what? I asked her why she did that, why she was acting that way, because she was being really kind of lame about it, not using both hands to hold the lamb and, you know, kind of just being lame about it. And I said, "Why were you doing that?" And she goes, "Because I didn't really want to be doing that right now. I wanted to be building this thing that she was building out in the backyard." So she knew. She had already thought through why she did it and that it wasn't okay. And she'd already figured that out on her own, which for her is huge.
Was it just over? Because you saw that. Mm-hmm. She acknowledged that even before you went to her. And so you were done.
Yeah. I had a few more words for her, and she was a little upset that it wasn't over because she said sorry, and then I called her on that. So she said sorry, and then she just wanted it to be over. Yeah, she said, "I'm sorry, you're right, Mom, I didn't do that right, and I'm sorry." And I said, "And you know what else?" And this and a few other things, because I needed to say those things, and she got angry because I was talking more. "Wait, I apologize, over." You know, and I said, "And now, you know what? Now you're angry with me? Because you wanted it to be over. So I'm going to call it what it is right there, right on the spot, and stop that from happening, because I did it better than her. And I didn't, that was bad. That was really, really bad. I did, our family had a lot of problems because of me, and I'm not going to let that happen in my house, so."
Don't worry, it's time for, I mean, we're basically done. You can ask all the questions you want, so. Go ahead, I think you had your hands up before, so.
Same lines with Jen. I have a 6-year-old also, and have you sent Sienna to the garage?
I picture her screaming and yelling that we're the worst parents in the world, and how can you do this, and that's not fair, blah, blah. Do we just let her, if we're abusive like that, or do we just let her write it out, or should, in that instance, is, like, use a spanking for
turn the
radio. I don't know if we're winning anything by...
If she's in the garage... first of all, a tantrum like that and yelling and screaming and saying hurtful things is for an audience. And if the audience is not there, it won't happen. It's much less rewarding if you don't have an audience. So the further away, turn the radio on, go into the bathroom, do whatever you can to get away from it. That's one thing. And then if it was a thing that would continue to go on and on and on, I would start spanking her for it. It's not okay.
I wonder, Jen, if you were to put your daughter out there a second time and a third time and a fourth time instead of, ooh, wow, I'm eating some in the garage, which is new and exciting and different. Hey, guess what? You're eating your breakfast in the garage today, tomorrow, the next day. See how you like it. And then reinforce that instead of, wow, I'm eating the garage, which is new and exciting, and I'm eating breakfast.
Well, I was just going to say, when you said screaming and had it been... You know, another situation in the garage, she is the type that would throw and scream and just do that, and I just let her do that. But then when she calms down, I will walk in, and then we have the conversation about what happened that's not acceptable. And I'm able to have that conversation with her, and that's been really good for us, because those incidents happen less and less because I've opened up a conversation
between
the two of us, so those situations happen less and less.
Yeah.
But it usually happens when the cousins are over.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a fight over.
There's a tension.
Or effort, you have to deprogram because their way of raising and parenting is different than what yours is, and they pick up on that.
And one important point to make about that is that if you have kids in public school, they're going to come home with all kinds of stuff. We homeschool our kids, but I know that that happens. And the way to deal with that is that, okay, maybe so-and-so acts like that, but in my house, that doesn't happen. And you have to be absolutely 100% consistent to tell them and make sure they understand that is not acceptable here. And hopefully you'll instill enough in them that they won't be doing it at school either. And then hopefully they'd lead their friends away from that. But to not let that happen in your house. And you know what? The kids that they have at school, if there's somebody that's a bad influence, I would not hesitate for a second to say that person is not allowed to be with you, not allowed to come over to our house. You're not going to play with them. No matter how hurtful that is to the children, you are talking about your child's soul. And that's what's critical. And it's okay to make uncomfortable decisions like that.
And they are being very disrespectful to each other. They're at the age where this is mine and that's mine, and when he's not playing with it, she'll go play with his favorite toy and right in front of him. And it's like exhausting, to the point of exhaustion. I feel like I'm on it. I'm being very consistent. I just don't feel like anything's getting through. I've taken toys away. I've let him play with her favorite. I've done it. I don't know what to do.
You have to stay on it. For one, you have to stay on top of it. They need to have words. Look up in your concordance in the back of your Bible, brothers. And I just did the sibling rivalry thing yesterday. There's a bunch of verses about brothers. There's one that says something about God being, in children's words, God being happy when brothers live in unity. And it's put it brothers and sisters, print it up and put it around the house. And yeah.
What we tell our kids, to point where we point, is that your brothers and sisters will always be your brothers and sisters. Friends are come and go. And so no matter what happens outside, this relationship's important. With this talk that she did last night, we realized that brother and sister relationships are the closest thing your kids are going to ever have to their marriage. It is the training ground for marriage. I'm an only child. I still learned how to fight. In my family, it was manipulation. Her family, who could yell the loudest? Well, I could win that really easily, too. So I could basically win in the first part of our marriage because I didn't change for a while.
And he could manipulate me to the point where I couldn't even remember what we were arguing about. Or what I said. No, I don't think I said that, did I? I could not remember. I seriously
And that's how I learned.
Remember.
So I learned how to be in a relationship through my parents. So, I mean, that's what she's doing. And so instead of going, my kids are always fighting, how can I use this opportunity to help them be better so when they get married, they have that opportunity? Kind of put a twist on it for when you don't get as frustrated. You still will, but it makes you feel a little bit better once in a while. Yeah, you're like, I've done this 1,000 times, but it does help in that. And you just keep working on that. When they get older, the things that you've learned through marriage, talking it out, how to talk things out. I mean, sit them down. Why do you want to take his toys? I would take the older one. Why are you doing this? Well, she might just say, I want attention. Okay. You know, for me, I mean, we got 10 kids. Most of our kids don't get one-on-one. I'll just admit that. And they all say, your kids need one-on-one with their parents. They get one-on-one with their older brother and sister. I mean, we're actually more lucky because our kids get response from other people. But there's times when I know that one needs a little bit more time. Okay, you can go shopping with me. Okay, you get to do this with me. And just take that time to do that. So that might be that also. But you got to nip it in the bud too. Like, okay, I'm not going to let this go, but we're going to take that.
I think one thing that's important about sibling rivalry too is that and one thing that makes it really difficult is it's never convenient for me. So when they have a fight, I'm in the middle of something else. Always. It's never when I'm sitting down there on the floor playing with them because it's not going to happen then. It's always when I'm in the middle of something. So I have had to get to the point where I'm okay to put this thing down or let them fight it out. I just for the sake of, because we have 10 kids, toys that get fought over, I take them away. Unless our children all have that thing, that one toy that is theirs, and everybody knows that that's not a community toy. And so unless it's that toy, then I will take the toy away and it'll go away. And I don't even say anything about it. Oh, forever. Yeah. There's plenty of toys in the world. And yeah, in the garbage. That's it. I just take the toy. Yeah. You want some toys? There's no words. I don't even say any words. I just go up to them. They're fighting over it. I take the toy away and put it in the trash and it's done and I walk away and we're done.
Did you explain it the first time?
Yeah, I've explained it 150,000 times. Yeah, it's not, it's just over. And even if you hadn't explained it, they know that. They know that. They get that.
Can you just watch over to the trash?
Oh, yeah.
Let's put it this way. The TV has landed into the closet or something because they've been fighting over either the Wii or the Xbox. We'll just take it and put it in our closet. And it sits there for a long time. And the best thing is, then we go play it at night, and they know that we're doing it.
Yeah.
They know that we're playing, and they're like, "When we can play it? When you can stop fighting over it?" You know, I've actually grabbed the TV, unplugged it, walked it into. I mean, they're staring at the show, going, "Where's he? What is he doing? My TV? Done."
And there's just no words because they all know. So, did you?
Boundaries on everything, and we have a really hard time getting him to look into our eyes when we're talking to him. We get down on his level, and they look at mommy, look at daddy, and you know, he'll do the look up to the corner.
And, how old is he?
He's 3. He's almost 4, but like, how far do you take that, especially at this age? Do we go into the spankings, like you look at mommy or you choose a spanking?
What's his shirt currency? What does he like to do?
Anything and everything he can climb on or break or pull down or
beat a boy.
They're not frustrated with him at all.
I mean, we have 2 boys, but they're just very different. He's just a very active, very kinetic kind of person. It's hard to say what his currency is.
He's pretty little still.
Relationship in a lot of ways, but he's also very little, so
he doesn't like spankings. And
that's good. We like that.
Well, yeah, we went through a phase where it didn't faze him, but now he says, "No, mommy, that hurts. Don't spank me." And but I don't know if we need to just escalate until he looks us in the eye.
Okay, so in that situation, we have that situation multiple times because we have multiple kids. That when they're that age, we get a switch, like a paint stir stick or something like that. That's not a major. This is not discipline. This is not a spanking in the bathroom. This is training. So he's standing there in front of you. He needs to get eye contact with you. If he looks away, you give him a switch on the leg. It's not enough to leave a mark. It's not enough to make him cry. It's enough to get his attention. And you'll stop doing that when he looks you in the eye and you're finished with the conversation you're having. So it's training immediate consequences for what his behavior is. It's not discipline. Take him in the bathroom, give him 5 spankings for this, whatever he did. It's just training. And it works. But the thing is, the first time, it's going to take a long time. And I would suggest you do it. Dan's had to do it.
Same thing. So
yeah, Dan's had to do it on multiple occasions, and he just has to do it one time. It's a brutal time. We have a 2-year-old that didn't even weigh probably 20 pounds when she was 2, and against him, we have regular training sessions. She stood up and refused just to sit down. All she had to do was sit down, and she refused. And he switched her on the leg, and she cried, and she refused. And he helped her sit down. Sit down. This is all I want you to do is just sit down. He was being gentle. He was not mad. He realized this was a battle that he had to win. It took an hour. And she was crying. I left the room because she was crying, Mommy! And I needed to, first of all,
Believe me, they weren't hard. They weren't hard switches.
No. Yeah, it is brutal, but you know what? You won't have to come across that again. He will be a different child.
Because I'm basically kind of like, I'd rather be outside, rather be playing, rather do all that stuff. It'd be me, if you were to take him outside and try to make him act with all that stuff around, all that stuff he likes to do, that would be more torture to me than just getting a switch. Because my mind's going, we can do this, we can do that. That's also, so you can also do that too. Take him out and say, do you want to do all this stuff? Yes, I do. All we're asking for is when we talk to you, is contact, is eye contact.
Were we supposed to be done at a certain time? I'm sure we were. Oh, okay. Okay. Well, just what time are we supposed to start the next one? Okay, well, then we'll just move into that and you can leave if you want or whatever.